You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn about a charitable pharmacy in Madison where hundreds of low-income, uninsured people are getting their medical prescriptions filled for free.
First, a chunk of ice the size of Delaware broke off from the Antarctic Peninsula this week. It's one of the largest icebergs ever recorded. The release of this iceberg has reduced the size of the ice shelf.
Scientists are concerned that this ice shelf will eventually collapse, and they think if it loses much more area, it could allow more glaciers to flow out into the ocean. But that might be decades away.
Matthew Lazara is an associate scientist and research meteorologist at the Antarctic Meteorological Research Center in UW-Madison's Space Science and Engineering Center. He also teaches climate and weather courses at Madison Area Technical College. Matthew, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, help us visualize this Larsen C ice shelf. What is it?
So if you were to get in your car, say, up in Appleton, and drive all the way down to Racine, that's about how long this iceberg is. In the other direction, it's pretty much the north to south direction of, say, Dane County. So that gives you an idea of this, something that's just a bit under 100 miles long by as wide as about 30, 31 miles in the other direction. So fairly big piece.
And why is it called the Larsen C Ice Shelf?
Ah, that's a good question. So let's look at the two parts of that. Larsen is actually the name of a Norwegian whaling captain, and he was one of the first to see this part of the Antarctic. Now, the Larsen Ice Shelf is actually part of the Antarctic Peninsula. There's several embayments. And so they've subdivided the different embayments and lettered them A, B, and C. And so this is the C portion of it.
And so A and B, there have been some breakups and things like that. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, that's right. We no longer have a Larsen A and B shelf, or there's only little remnants left of B. I guess B was well known to have collapsed some years ago, and back in the 1990s, A had collapsed. And so C is the largest of the embayments, and of course, this is the very first fairly large breakup that we've seen in modern times.
And you do a lot of research on Antarctica. Have you been there?
Yes, I have been. I've deployed 9 times to the Antarctic, but I've not been to this particular ice shelf, although I've been to other ice shelves, like the Rice Ice Shelf is one of the largest on the continent.
What is it like there this time of year?
It's winter, so it's dark, sun's not up at all, and it is cold, and in particular stormy. In fact, the United States main station has had some really significant stormy weather the last few days.
So help us wrap our heads around a trillion-ton iceberg. What happened here with this massive hunk of ice breaking off? When did the break start?
So the way ice works in the Antarctic is actually always moving. Even though you don't think of ice as something that's moving, it's actually very slowly collecting from the snow on the top of the continent, and it flows out on these glaciers which go out onto the ice shelves. Now, the ice, it's brittle. It does have what are known as rifts or cracks in it. And so they slowly start to pair up and then begin the formation of what then turns into these icebergs. So this actual beginning of the rifting of this iceberg probably began decades ago. Only perhaps in the last, say, 6-7 years have we really been able to notice it very clearly from satellite and observations of folks who've been flying over the region. So this is something that's been long coming.
A lot of talk about what this means for climate change. Is climate change to blame here?
Not clearly. Ice shelves are interesting in that they, to maintain their size, there needs to be these big, large, and we call these, by the way, tabular icebergs. They need to form, and calve off every, and because of their size and how long it takes them to form, because this isn't stuff that's moving very fast. It's something that happens every, say, 50 to 100 years. Now, having said that's something that would be not a climate change issue, just the way the glaciological, in fact, the hydrological, frozen hydrological cycle works in the Antarctic. There are still some things going on, like, for example, the Larsen B ice shelf, that do have climate implications. And here, when you start to calve off big pieces of ice like this, then what's behind it, what's left of the ice shelf and the glaciers behind that, will they start to become more susceptible to their breakup perhaps sooner than they might have otherwise in the current changing climate that we do have. That's unknown, and so this is why this isn't very clear-cut or a definitive, yes, this is a climate change thing. It's got more dimension to it than that.
We're talking right now with Matthew Lazara. He's an associate scientist and research meteorologist at the Antarctic Meteorological Research Center that is based here at UW-Madison, and it's UW-Madison Space Science and Engineering Center. We're talking about this massive iceberg that broke off this week from an ice shelf in Antarctica. Matthew, what does this mean for sea level rise?
Actually, not that much. You can actually try this at home when you put some ice cubes in a floating in a glass. As the ice melts, it doesn't really change the level very much because that ice is already displacing the amount of ocean that it's going to be when the iceberg then turns into water. So there is some subtle changes, but for the most part, nothing of any consequence. The bigger concern will be if we do see actual ice, for example, say further up the ice shelf that's up on land, when that comes down and then contributes to sea level, that's when you do see sea level rise. But for this particular iceberg, no change.
And what will you and other scientists around the world be watching for in the coming months, the coming years, as this iceberg just does its thing?
Yeah, so there's two parts. We'll have an interesting time watching the iceberg as it does go about its float out into the Southern Ocean. And we'll see what it does there. But we'll also keep an eye on where it came from. We'll be watching Larsen C to see how the rest of that ice shelf behaves. Will it remain the way it is, or will we start to see it have other, other breakups and other changes in the coming years? And this is something that actually the National Ice Center here in the United States, they monitor a lot of the icebergs in the Antarctic. In fact, they've actually formally named it today. It is known as A68.
That's just today, news today.
That's correct.
Matthew, what about your research in Antarctica? What are you studying?
So I'm the principal investigator in charge of all of the United States automatic weather stations that run across the continent. So that's it's quite a few, actually. It's just a bit under 60 stations. That's over or roughly half of all of the automatic weather stations running in Antarctica. So I'm really trying to capture the surface meteorology, the surface climate of Antarctica, so we can understand how the weather works, how the climate works, and we can get a sense of how that is evolving and changing in time. And I occasionally also use satellite observations, which makes it really great to be able to watch things like icebergs, but also clouds and storms and get a sense of how they're changing as well.
Yeah, how have satellites impacted research like yours and so many other scientists?
So we would never really have a sense of these big tabular icebergs without satellites. They're priceless. I mean, at this time of year, very few people are doing any transportation or running around the Antarctic because it is winter. The few folks who are there are hunkered down in actual main stations, and we would never really see this. And so they give us a real bird's-eye view of seeing these massive icebergs calve off of the Antarctic. Back in 2000, we got to do the same thing in the Ross Sea, watch some of the largest icebergs ever form there, iceberg called B15. And so they're really priceless in being able to monitor this part of the world.
Very quickly, as we wrap up, why do you love to study Antarctica, and what keys to the scientific world does it possess?
Well, it is a pretty place, and once you get the chance to visit, you kind of fall in love with the scenery and such. But it does provide an awful lot about, the Antarctic is kind of like a temperature or a thermostat for the planet. It kind of regulates it. And so that's why it's really important for all of us everywhere, is getting a sense of understanding how that works so we understand how our whole Earth works.
Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Matthew Lazara is an associate scientist and research meteorologist at the Antarctic Meteorological Research Center in UW-Madison's Space Science and Engineering Center. He also teaches climate and weather courses at Madison Area Technical College. He was telling us about that massive iceberg that broke off of an ice shelf in Antarctica this week.